Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord for us today comes from today's epistle lesson. We're hearing again at verse 5, the apostle writes, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." This is God's word. The story is told of a man who had his boss over for dinner one evening. Repeatedly, the boss said in the course of conversation, "You know, I'm a self-made man." At a certain point, the host excused himself from the table, went into the kitchen, his daughter following behind, and when she knew the coast was clear, she asked, "Daddy, if he's a self-made man, why did he make himself that way?" Good question. Few attitudes so harm relationships as what the Apostle Paul calls vain conceit. And that goes for relationships outside and inside the church. A person can get their mind so set on our own ideas and desires that relationships suffer. We don't see things clearly. We brace up when challenged, assert control, expect people to fall in line, all the while ignoring the interests of others, even ignoring Christ himself and what he wants. Of all the threats to the integrity of our relationships, not to mention unity in the church, being full of oneself may be the greatest. It's no wonder that when Paul lists the works of our sinful nature, he includes selfish ambition. People full of themselves see themselves everywhere. Another person's success gets them measuring. Where do I fit into that? Am I as successful? Am I not as successful? Another person's failure makes them say, "Glad I'm not that guy." People full of themselves have no room for the needs of others. No room for a word from God. No room for improvement. Why? They're already full of themselves. This problem, as you might expect, goes all the way back to the beginning. Adam and Eve entertained the temptation of the serpent to become like God. And in the process, doubt what God had said so clearly. And what is that but an invitation to become full of yourself? And if you're paying attention, you will hear this still being offered by the world and the serpent as conventional wisdom, if not inspiring advice. So yes, put yourself at the center of your life and don't let anyone else tell you what to do, not even God. And if that leads to your destruction, at least you'll have some fun as you spiral downward. When it's stated that way, you would think we would know better. But at various times, it just seems so right to indulge yourself, to elevate yourself, to take that seat on the throne of your life, and from there to rule. And then along comes Jesus. Jesus, who says that if anyone wants to follow him, he or she must deny self. He or she must vacate the throne. Because you can't worship God if the one who's still really calling the shots is you. You cannot look out for others if you are full of yourself. There's no room. So what's the antidote? What's the solution? The solution is a change of mind. It's a new mindset. In fact, it's the adoption of 4 new attitudes. But before we get to those, let me show you what must happen if we are going to lose that sinful self that has filled us. It works like this. Jesus comes. Jesus comes to us. He comes in water poured over us with the divine name, the triune name of God. Jesus comes to us in his word as we handle it, as we read it, as we hear it, as we think about it. Jesus comes to us in a meal that he sets for us in his church. This Jesus lived for us flawlessly, a righteous life through and through. He poured out that life for us, emptying himself. He died for us unselfishly, taking our punishment upon himself. When you realize, perhaps in a flash, in a moment, or perhaps over the course of many years, how much Jesus loves you and what he did to prove it, you will also see how small your full self is compared to the vast expanse of his grace and love for you. The more Jesus fills us with his word and sacrament, the less room there is for our old selves. But something else happens as well. The Holy Spirit actually writes into our minds the attitudes of Jesus. And you can know when this is happening when you begin to think more highly of Jesus than you do yourself. When you start to truly care about what he has said and what he has done, and you find yourself saying and doing things that sound a lot like him. In other words, when you see more of Jesus and less of me, and that becomes your lived experience, and you want more of that, you are headed in the right direction. Theologians call this sanctification. If you're of somewhat of a scientific mindset, it's almost like absorption through osmosis. But if that doesn't do it for you, think of it this way. It's like 2 people who spend a lot of time together to the degree that they can finish each other's sentences, think each other's thoughts. They know what the other one's going to order at the restaurant. You get the idea. These are handles for us to grasp what Paul means when he writes, your attitude should be the same. The same as Christ Jesus. And the attitude of Christ Jesus accumulates in us over time as we meet him in his word, as you ponder the significance of your baptism, as you receive him in the Lord's Supper, He speaks, we listen, we respond, we continue in that cycle, and more what you discover is you're finding yourself looking so much forward to those times devoted to Him. You begin to see Him everywhere, rather than reflections of yourself everywhere. The following is a true story told by a brother pastor. He knew of a 7-year-old girl who went through a serious organ transplant surgery, and that kept her out of church and out of school for a long time, as you would imagine. But finally, she had the opportunity to come back to worship one Sunday. And above the altar in their church was a beautiful statue of Jesus with his arms stretched open wide, looking very glorious, very welcoming. And as that little girl walked into church with her mom, she looked up and she gasped with delight. "Look, Mom," she said, "Jesus is still here." That's true. He is still here. It is His constant, relentless love flowing to us that empties us of our old selves. And it is His constant, relentless love that leaves a deposit in our hearts. And yes, in our minds. Here, in his letter to the Philippians, Paul celebrates the attitudes, the mindset of Jesus. And he also says that Jesus' mindset can overlap with yours, should overlap with yours. And he names 4 ways that this is true. Here's the 4. First is a service mindset, a servant mindset. Jesus, we're told, made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. This was a deliberate, meaningful action on Jesus' part. Paul writes, he did not hang on to his divine power or prerogatives as God. But he stooped down to the level of washing his disciples' feet. This willingness to set self aside and tend to the needs of others is one of those new mindsets that Christians receive from Christ. In fact, Jesus goes on to say, goes so far as to say, that a servant mentality is what defines greatness in His kingdom. Second is the humility mindset. Paul writes, Jesus humbled Himself. And again, this was a deliberate decision and action on our Lord's part. If one of our huge problems is being full of ourselves, humility means being empty of self-concern so that we can be useful, so that God can fill us. As the author C.S. Lewis so famously put it, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. You and I resemble Jesus when serving others eclipses any other concerns that we might have, including, how is this making me look? Third is the obedience mindset. Remember, Paul wrote, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient. Jesus' attitude was always one of obedience to his Father, and it was an obedience rooted not in fear, but in love. We are like Jesus when we live for God and do things His way because we want to please Him. We want to say thank you with our lives. The mindset of obedience sees the wisdom in doing God's work, God's way. And fourth is the mindset of sacrifice. Jesus became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus became the ultimate sacrificial lamb for our sakes, truly, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We have forgiveness, new life, and salvation from death and hell because of the sacrifice Jesus made. So, it stands to reason that we will occasionally be asked to sacrifice for the good of someone else. Even if that's simply the sacrifice of our time. And when that happens, we have the attitude of Jesus to inform us. We learn over time that to give up something in the name of Jesus, it's never a loss. You're never losing something when you sacrifice in Jesus' name. Absorbing Jesus' set of attitudes is a good in itself. It enables you to release true goodness into the world around you, a world that is absolutely parched and starved for such a thing. And at the same time, the mindset we glean from Jesus is also preparing you and me for something spectacular. Remember, at the end of Jesus' mission, He was exalted. As we confess in our creeds, He rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven to be seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. We can then look forward to our life in the world to come because we trust that it too is a gift from the Father to us. His presence with Jesus and the Holy Spirit will be our perfect joy forever. And the mindset of our Lord is helping till the ground for that day. And in the meantime, you have before you a lifetime of opportunities to see things as Jesus sees them, to think of things as Jesus would think of them, to act as He would act, to really know Him is to love Him, and to serve Him in humility, obedience, and sacrifice. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, with Your Son and Holy Spirit, we are brought before You this day. We recall all that You have done for us in our baptism, and we are grateful. We are also called this day to confess before You our sin, in particular our ability to be full of ourselves and to often really think in our hearts that we are self-made. Correct our thinking this day, Father. Allow us to see that who we are is a matter of Your work in our lives, that You have given us as a gift forgiveness, life, and salvation. And not only that, You have given us the gift of Christ's likeness. We can have the mind of Christ in us. And that mind can tell us what to do, how to serve. Open us to that, Lord, and teach us what it means to be like our Lord and Savior Jesus. We thank You for this blessing. Help us nurture it. In Jesus' name, amen.